All right, so we're diving into the fight for integration, weighing the costs and benefits. And it really gets at this question that I think a lot of us have probably thought about at one point or another. Was integration worth it? And looking at this source, I mean, it's not a simple yes or no.
No, not at all. And that's really what makes this such a fascinating deep dive. It's that you get into these complexities of integration and you explore both the progress that was undeniably made, but also the costs that were sometimes overlooked, particularly the costs borne by Black communities.
And it really challenges some of those assumptions that I think a lot of us might go into this topic with. So to really set the stage, the source starts out with Brown v. Board of Education, which, this landmark ruling declared separate but equal unconstitutional. Now, a lot of people, I think, know that this was a huge deal. But the source, I think, goes a little bit deeper and starts to highlight some of the real-world impacts.
And I think it's important to remember that Brown v. Board wasn't just this symbolic victory. It led to some very real, tangible changes.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, finally, Black students being able to go to schools that were properly funded, had better facilities, a wider range of courses. Before that, many Black students were stuck in these really overcrowded classrooms with very limited resources.
And it wasn't just schools, right? It opened up access to so many public spaces and services that were previously segregated. And we're talking parks, libraries, restaurants, things that many of us just take for granted today.
Absolutely. And I think the source makes a really good point about connecting those changes to the psychological impact on Black communities, for decades, separate but equal. This idea was really reinforcing this idea of inferiority. And Brown v. Board really challenged that at a fundamental level.
And speaking of, challenging norms, the source brought up Ruby Bridges. That 6-year-old who integrated that all-white school in New Orleans, facing those just horrifying crowds.
It's such a powerful image.
Such a powerful image of courage.
Yes.
But the source makes us consider, what about the emotional burden on children like Ruby?
Yes. It's so crucial to remember that while Ruby's story is incredibly inspiring, it's also a stark reminder of the hostility and isolation many Black children experienced in those newly integrated schools. Imagine being that young and facing those constant microaggressions, even outright racism. The source really digs into the psychological cost of that experience.
And that makes me think about another point the source raises, which is the closure of Black schools and businesses during integration. It's like, on the one hand, yeah, it's about access to better resources, but then you have these thriving institutions that were really at the heart of Black communities
Crucially,
just gone.
it really is one of those unintended consequences of integration that the source does a good job unpacking. These institutions, they weren't just buildings, they were hubs of cultural identity, economic empowerment, social support. I mean, think about the loss of Black educators, business owners, community leaders. The ripple effect of that was huge.
And that really ties into the source's argument that integration didn't magically erase racial inequality. They point out that segregation continues today, driven by factors like housing patterns and economic disparity.
And it's not enough to just dismantle legal segregation. The source really emphasizes this. We need to address these systemic issues because even today, Black families are still more likely to live in under-resourced neighborhoods with underfunded schools.
So even with all of these achievements, we're still grappling with a legacy of inequality. And that brings us back to our initial question. Was integration worth it? And the source doesn't give a simple answer. And I really appreciate that honesty.
Me too.
It's messy,
It is.
right? There were games, there were losses.
It's about understanding the nuance, and I think that's what the source really helps us do. It helps us move beyond that simple success or failure narrative and recognize the complexities of this historical moment.
And that leads us to the source's recommendations for moving forward. They lay out these four key areas: rebuilding Black communities, creating truly inclusive environments, listening to Black voices, and looking beyond schools.
It's refreshing that the source doesn't just point out the problems. It actually gives us, some ways to make things better.
It's about actionable solutions. And that first one, rebuilding Black communities, really stood out to me. It's acknowledging that the dismantling of those institutions, schools, businesses, community centers had a profound impact. And rebuilding them isn't about going back to segregation.
No.
It's about empowering communities that were systematically disadvantaged.
Absolutely. It's acknowledging that loss and working to restore what was taken away.
Yeah. And the source even uses the phrase, investing in Black futures.
I like that.
Which I thought was really powerful.
It is.
It's not just fixing the past.
Right.
It's about creating a more equitable future.
Exactly. And that investment needs to be, you know, multifaceted.
Yeah.
It's about supporting Black-owned businesses,
mm-hmm.
giving them access to capital, revitalizing neighborhoods.
Right.
And fostering that sense of ownership and pride.
And then there's the idea of creating truly inclusive environments.
Right.
I think a lot of people assume this is just about diversity, but the source goes deeper than that.
It's about going beyond representation and really looking at the systems that create barriers for marginalized groups.
Right.
It's about making sure everyone feels valued, respected, heard, regardless of their background.
So it's not just about, you know, having Black and white kids in the same classroom.
Yeah.
It's about ensuring that the curriculum reflects diverse perspectives.
Yeah.
That teaching methods are culturally sensitive.
Mm.
That discipline policies are applied fairly.
Exactly. And you know, that goes for workplaces, healthcare systems, even just our social interactions.
Yeah.
You know, it's about dismantling those ingrained biases.
Right.
And creating a culture where everyone can thrive.
And who better to guide us in this process than the people most affected?
Right.
And that's why this source's emphasis on listening to Black voices really resonated with me.
For too long, decisions about Black communities have been made without their input.
Right.
You know, policies, programs, resources allocated.
Yeah.
Without truly understanding the lived experiences of those on the ground.
It's like those in power are speaking for Black communities instead of with them.
Yeah.
And the source argues we need to shift that dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
Amplify those voices. Ensure they're at the decision-making table.
It's about recognizing that Black communities have the expertise and knowledge to identify their own needs and solutions.
Right.
And empowering them to shape their own destinies.
And that brings us to the final recommendation, looking beyond schools.
Yes.
I found this particularly insightful because obviously education is crucial.
Oh, yeah.
But it's not the only arena where integration matters.
The source reminds us that true integration requires a much broader societal transformation.
Yeah.
You know, we need to look at these systemic issues that contribute to racial inequality in all its forms.
Mm-hmm.
Housing, healthcare, criminal justice, economic opportunity.
So it's about understanding that segregation wasn't just about separate schools.
Right.
It was a system designed to limit opportunities for Black Americans in every aspect of life.
Absolutely.
And dismantling that system requires a multi-pronged approach.
For example, the source highlights the link between housing discrimination and educational outcomes.
Yeah.
If Black families are more likely to live in low-income neighborhoods with under-resourced schools,
mm-hmm.
simply integrating schools won't solve the problem.
It's about tackling those root causes.
Yeah.
Not just the symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
The source states it beautifully. Integration was never just about classrooms. It was about dismantling systems of oppression.
It really is a powerful reminder that this work extends far beyond the walls of those schools.
Yeah.
It's about looking at every aspect of our society
right.
through a lens of racial equity
mm-hmm.
and working to create a more just and equitable world for everyone.
This deep dive is really illuminating the complexity of integration.
It is.
It's not a simple story of success or failure.
No.
But an ongoing process, a journey we're still on. You know, we've covered so much in this deep dive,
yeah.
from the legal victories to the societal shifts,
mm.
the progress made and the costs endured.
Yeah.
But I keep coming back to that question we started with.
Yeah.
Was integration worth it?
It's the question, isn't it?
Yeah.
And like we've been saying, the source doesn't give us an easy answer.
Right.
It's more about, you know, sitting with the complexity of it all.
Yeah.
Recognizing that there's not a simple solution.
Because on the one hand, you can't deny the moral imperative of dismantling segregation. I mean, it was a system that was built on racial hierarchy.
Yeah.
And a
yeah.
denial of basic human rights.
Absolutely.
So Brown v. Board was this landmark achievement.
It was a turning point.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But at the same time, the source really pushes us to think about the other side of that.
Mm-hmm.
The sacrifices that Black communities made during integration.
Yes. The loss of those institutions, the emotional toll on children having to navigate hostile environments, the fact that systemic racism continued
right.
even after these legal barriers were removed.
It's like progress isn't always a straight line.
No, not at all.
Right.
There are bumps along the way.
There are setbacks.
Yeah, and there's always a cost, even in the pursuit of justice.
And what really strikes me is how the source avoids, you know, placing blame.
It's not about pointing fingers.
Right. It's more about understanding this history.
Yeah.
And using that knowledge to do better.
Exactly. And that's why I find those four recommendations so compelling. You know, rebuilding Black communities, creating truly inclusive environments, listening to Black voices, looking beyond schools.
Right.
These are things we can actually do.
It's recognizing that integration wasn't the end.
It was just the beginning.
Right.
The fight continues.
And it requires work and vigilance.
Absolutely.
And a commitment to, you know, really dismantling these systems.
Yes, these systems of oppression that are still in place.
So maybe instead of asking, was integration worth it?
Mm-hmm.
We should be asking, what did we learn?
Right. What can we learn from all of this?
How do we honor the past?
Yeah.
And create a better future?
That's the question.
That's a big one. And it's one that we all need to grapple with.
Individually and as a society.
Yeah. Because the fight for integration, it's a story of resilience and courage.
And hope.
It reminds us that change is possible.
It is.
But it takes work.
It does. It takes constant work.
And reflection.
And a willingness to challenge those norms.
And ultimately, it's up to us to create a future where equality and opportunity
and belonging
aren't just aspirations, but a reality for all.
I think that's a good place to end.
I think so, too.